It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Only 15% of Pennsylvania mothers breastfeed their babies up to 6 months without supplement, according to a recent CDC study. Despite the health benefits of breastfeeding, many mothers receive conflicting messages, especially after they have their first child. In her article, Barriers to Breastfeeding, Public Source reporter Andrea Frazier looks at why breastfeeding rates in the Pittsburgh region have been unusually low and what health professionals are doing to increase awareness. She joins us in studio. Andrea Frazier, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
Also with us is Ellen Rubin of the Breastfeeding Center of Pittsburgh and La Leche League, a local organization helping women successfully breastfeed their children through education and outreach. Ellen Rubin, good to have you with us.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
And you can join the conversation with a comment or a question at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is ESSPGH, as I bump into the microphone there, ESSPGH at WESA.FM, and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Andrea Frazier, let's start with you. A federal health survey found that only 15% of Pennsylvania mothers breastfed without supplementing with formula until their babies were 6 months old, as the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends. Why is that?
So one of the main things I learned during the course of my reporting this story was that one of the most common barriers to breastfeeding is whether or not a woman has the correct and appropriate community support groups and family support groups. So we find that if a woman's mother or her grandmother hasn't breastfed in the past, that she may not even think to, or if that she does want to breastfeed, she'll have a problem finding the correct guidance or the support that she needs. So in Pittsburgh, I think that there, like the La Leche League, there's a really strong support system for women who seek that out. But in Pennsylvania as a whole, that may not be the case. So as we have these initiatives like the Keystone 10, which I'm sure we'll talk about, that go and try to remedy this from the time a baby is born, I think that we will start to see an increase in those rates.
And as long as you brought it up, let's explain to people what the Keystone 10 is.
So the Keystone 10 is a federal opt-in initiative that hospitals and birthing centers can opt in to do. And this launched in 2015. And the goal of the Keystone 10 is to promote best practices for encouraging breastfeeding as soon as a baby is born, because as we talked about, the breastfeeding rates in Pennsylvania are low. For example, in Pennsylvania, the percentage of women who breastfed at least once in 2011 was 73%. The national average was 79. So in order to remedy that, the Keystone 10 brings these 10 tenets to successful breastfeeding to facilities that pledge to adopt these over a period of about 3 to 5 years. So those include informing mothers about the benefits of breastfeeding, a practice called rooming in, which means making sure that a mom and her baby are together 24 hours a day while they're still in the hospital, helping mothers to start to breastfeed within an hour of birth, and not giving infants any food or drink besides breast milk unless it's medically necessary. So right now in Pennsylvania, there are 102 eligible facilities, but 69 of these hospitals and birthing centers have signed on to the initiative so far.
Ellen Rubin, what are the benefits of breastfeeding?
Oh, the benefits of breastfeeding are just numerous. What we really see is that it helps a baby reach his or her health potential. We see less of some common childhood concerns, such as ear infections, diarrheal type infections. But then the long-term benefits are really incredible as well. People often think or suggest that breastfeeding is going to be more important in countries where there are not as high of health health practices or advantages. But we find in the United States that that it really impacts a baby's health as well, and that there's a 25% increase in mortality among non-breastfed infants, even in the United States. What's often overlooked as well is the health of the mother, and that there's a dose-dependent response with breastfeeding. The longer a woman breastfeeds, the greater the health benefits that she has, such as we see a 7% reduction in premenopausal breast cancer for every year that a woman breastfeeds. So if she were to breastfeed three children for 3 years, that would be a 21% reduction, an amazing number there.
Why do you think that Pennsylvania's breastfeeding rates are below the national average?
I think that it is likely due to a lack of access of professional support in breastfeeding. Many women or families tend to turn to their general health providers for breastfeeding support and find that they aren't necessarily informed or prepared, or may simply not have the time to offer that breastfeeding instruction. Here in Pittsburgh, we are really lucky. We're really a breastfeeding mecca. We have the Breastfeeding Center of Pittsburgh, where I work, which is really really set the standard for great breastfeeding care with a primary provider. And we're seeing other pediatric practices jump on board with that and having international board certified lactation consultants on staff. But we are a concentrated area, and much of Pennsylvania has smaller towns, and they're less likely to be able to afford to have an IBCLC or to sustain a practice there.
How does what's happening here compare with what we're seeing in other parts of the country, or even other countries for that matter?
Well, it really depends on the country. I think in Andrea's report, she compared to Pennsylvania to California.
And in California, breastfeeding is much more prevalent than here in Pennsylvania. Correct, Andrea?
Yes, that's true. So as I mentioned, in Pennsylvania, the percentage of women who ever breastfeed their babies is 73%. In California, that number is 93%.
Let's take some phone calls at 412-246-2002, starting with Elaine in West Mifflin. Hi, Elaine. You're on the air with Andrea Frazier and Ellen Rubin.
Hi, I was calling to ask if anybody is specifically examining the breastfeeding support available at hospitals in the region. I know from my personal experience and the experience of friends and relatives that, for instance, where we delivered our babies, it was almost impossible to get a lactation consultant to come and talk with us and answer questions. And the nurses also didn't seem to have the background to help us.
Ellen, you want to take that?
Sure. I mean, we are lucky that here in Pittsburgh, at least, almost every one of our maternity hospitals have lactation consultants on staff. But I have heard exactly what you are saying, that the numbers are not always there. And I think it is sometimes a funding issue. Hopefully the Keystone 10 is something that is going to help bolster that, and we can get some more staff training. I know that part of the Keystone 10 is that all staff need to be on board with breastfeeding knowledge. So not only lactation consultants, but physicians and nurses and everybody. But I think that's a good point, and also emphasizes one of the reasons why we need lactation consultants in pediatric practices. Most women stay in the hospital only for a day or two, and then they head home.
Thank you for that call, Elaine. Let's go to Jennifer in Mount Lebanon. Hi, Jennifer. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I'm calling from Mount Lebanon, and I want to first say that I was a La Leche League leader for a number of years, quite a while back in the late 80s, so I am actually a little disappointed to see that the rates of breastfeeding haven't gone up. But I also, wearing another hat, want to mention an organization in Pittsburgh that is fairly new in this area, and that's the Pittsburgh Black Breastfeeding Circle that's affiliated right now with the Midwife Center down on Penn Avenue. I'm president of a group called Giving to Grow that recently gave an operational grant to the BBC, and we were really pleased to see the work that they are trying to do to really increase knowledge and support of breastfeeding in a community that's even got lower percentages than, you know, the upper middle class white communities. So I just wanted to throw that out there. There's another organization in addition to La Leche League that's meeting a different segment of the population in this area. Pittsburgh Black Breastfeeding Circle.
Well, I'm glad that you brought that up and pointed that out, Jennifer. And, you know, certainly there are some questions that come to mind. One, Andrea, I would ask you about, which is, and I know you looked into this, how has race affected breastfeeding rates?
So we find that in the Black community, breastfeeding is less prevalent. In 2012, 74% of Pittsburgh mothers were breastfeeding their babies, and only 55% of Black mothers were. So we find that culturally appropriate resources are really important. So, for example, the Pittsburgh Black Breastfeeding Circle, I'm sure, is a great resource for mothers who have a different experience than maybe the average mother that attends a Little H.A. League meeting.
And could this have an effect on perhaps the higher rate of infant mortality among Blacks in Allegheny County, Ellen?
Absolutely. We know that breastfeeding is going to help an infant obtain his health potential, and especially if we are seeing infants who are premature, they often may experience necrotizing endocolitis, which is a devastating illness where parts of their gut shuts down. It is almost non-existent in babies who have a 100% breast milk diet. So that's another important health benefit. And also underscores the value of the milk bank, which has just opened up here in Pittsburgh as well.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking about a story from our content partner, Public Source, called Barriers to Breastfeeding, an article put together by reporter Andrea Frazier, looking at why breastfeeding rates in the Pittsburgh region have been unusually low and what health professionals are doing to increase awareness. We're also joined in studio by Ellen Rubin of the Breastfeeding Center of Pittsburgh and La Leche League, a local organization helping women successfully breastfeed their children through education and outreach. And you can join the conversation with a question or comment at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email esspgh@wesa.fm. On Twitter at esspgh. Let's go to Allison in Pittsburgh. Hi, Allison. You're on with Andrea and Ellen.
Hi. I just want to say thank you so much. I'm a former client of the Breastfeeding Center, and I successfully breastfed my child for the first year of her life. And I just want to say thank you. I had a question. I had a pretty good experience with breastfeeding, except for the first week of my daughter's life where she was in the NICU, and I found the breastfeeding support to be really poor. I think the doctors and nurses kind of had my best interest in heart and wanted to feed my daughter formula, but it meant that I had to sort of fight to be able to breastfeed her and didn't have the best conditions. And I'm wondering, that was 5 years ago. Has this changed, and is there anything that can be done to improve this?
It's a great question. Go ahead, Andrea.
That is something that I found during my reporting as well. People who had babies born in Pittsburgh area hospitals and their babies were in the NICU were not discouraged from breastfeeding, but certainly not encouraged to do so either.
Why is that? Why would doctors and nurses encourage a mother whose baby is in the NICU not to breastfeed and to bottle feed their baby instead?
So, for example, I can give you an example from a woman I talked to. Her baby was in the NICU, and the doctors wanted her to bottle feed the baby so they could measure his ins and outs, how much he was eating.
But aren't there other ways they can do that?
She said that she learned, actually, after leaving the hospital and joining the La Leche League, that they could have weighed the baby before and after. So I think that even maybe among medical professionals, there's a gap in education that I think the Keystone 10 and other initiatives are certainly helping to fill.
Ellen, is there a stigma there that even health professionals fall prey to?
Oh, absolutely. And it sounds like the caller Allison was a wonderful advocate for her baby, and it's fabulous that she was able to go on and breastfeed despite that rough start there. I think that we are all coming to understand that breastfeeding is not so much a lifestyle choice, but is sometimes a life or death choice. And it is really a medicine and a health support. And that message is becoming more prevalent. However, having enough resources and trained professionals on board can help certainly make a big difference.
In what situation should a mother not breastfeed?
It's actually fairly rare that a woman cannot breastfeed due to a health condition. Certainly, if the use sometimes with illicit drugs, we would want to be cautious there. Certain other medications, such as chemotherapy, and in many nations, if a woman is HIV positive, they may discourage her from breastfeeding, though there actually are, under the right conditions, even an HIV positive mother can, with the right support, may be able to breastfeed.
412-246-2002 to join our conversation with our guests, Ellen Rubin of the Breastfeeding Center of Pittsburgh and Andrea Frazier, reporter for our content partner, Public Source. Andrea, what are the societal and workplace pressures breastfeeding mothers are facing?
So in Pennsylvania, we actually don't have a law, a statewide law, that protects women who are breastfeeding. In 2010, the Obama's Affordable Care Act made it so that employers with 50 or more employees had to provide break time to pump for women and a clean and private space to do that up until a year after the baby's birth. But salaried women are actually exempt from that law. So if you're a salaried woman in the workplace, you may not have this opportunity to breastfeed or pump at work. So there is a bill in the pipeline now in Pennsylvania called the Workplace Accommodations for Nursing Mothers Act that would fix this loophole. So if that passes, all employees would be entitled to a clean and private space to pump, and they would be able to do that if they wanted to for a year after birth, for more than a year after birth. So there certainly are companies that do this, even though they aren't legally required to. But like I mentioned, Pennsylvania doesn't have those laws to protect women at work. And I think that a lot of time with women who may have to go back to work very soon after giving birth for financial reasons may not have that option to breastfeed. If you're working in the service industry, bartending or something like that, there just isn't the opportunity to pump as you need to in order to provide breast milk for your child.
Let's go to Bonnie in Burgettstown with a question. Hi, Bonnie. You're on the air.
Hello. My question is, you compared Pennsylvania, I believe, to California. I was wondering what our region is compared to other Appalachian areas.
Do we have any statistics on that?
Well, you know, I would, again, go back to that in areas where we have a concentration of people and medical resources, many pediatric practices, we are going to have the numbers and the funds to support professional breastfeeding support. Really, the gold standard of that is the IBCLC, the International Board Certified Lactation Consultant. But in areas that are more rural, there is likely to be less support when that crisis occurs. That's one of the reasons why there is a big push to get licensure for IBCLCs, for lactation consultants, so that they can work independently in some of these areas rather than needing to be connected to a medical practice, such as a hospital.
412-246-2002. Let's go to Lisa in Pittsburgh. Lisa, welcome. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Yeah, I have a comment regarding breastfeeding. While I agree that breastfeeding in general is beneficial for the baby, I never breastfed my children. They're now in their 30s. But one thing I've noticed recently is if a woman chooses not to breastfeed, for whatever reason she chooses not to do it, she's really looked at societally as if she's somehow harming her baby. And this goes to the comment of one of your panelists who said it's not a lifestyle choice. It is, in fact, a choice. So I'd like to know how your panel would respond to that.
Okay. So thank you for that question and comment, Lisa. And some people say, don't make me feel like I was a bad mother because I want to use formula. Some, like Lisa, feel that breastfeeding may be forced on them. What about this, Ellen?
Well, I would say that there is no doubt at all. I mean, science has supported this, that there are health benefits to a baby to receive breast milk. There are health benefits for a mother to breastfeed. It really is
What makes it better?
Well, some of the things that we listed when we first began the show here, that a baby is just generally is healthier. I mean, if we look at less ear infections, less diarrhea, even long-term, there's fewer less, there's some types of cancers, which we see less in a baby when they receive breast milk. For a mother, they are they have far less bleeding postpartum, less breast cancer, less ovarian cancer, greater heart health. We've had some excellent research done out of McGee Hospital. Dr. Schwartz did an enormous study. She has a great TED Talk that you can listen to.
Numerous benefits.
Yeah, so there's numerous benefits. So there's no doubt that breast milk is going to benefit any baby. However, breastfeeding is not for every family, and that is something important for us to consider. The other thing to consider is that breastfeeding doesn't have to be all or none. And some families may be looking for a middle point. They may want to breastfeed their child for the first few weeks and then transition to formula or to donor milk. And I think what we really, what we have in this area and will continue to need is a respect for the voice of the family and to help them meet their feeding goals. That's certainly a big goal of La Leche League, which is to meet a family or a mother where they're at and hear their goals and help support them get where they want to be.
Let's take one more call from Gwendolyn in Mount Lebanon with a question. Hi, Gwendolyn. Oh, we lost Gwendolyn, but we do have her question on the screen here. She says allergies prevented her from breastfeeding. Could she have pumped the milk? She asks.
Well, pumping milk is certainly always an option. I would probably need to hear a little bit more about how that the allergies interfered.
Yeah, all she said was that allergies prevented her from breastfeeding. Unfortunately, we lost her, so we don't mm-hmm. have her here to elaborate on that. But.
Well, some people are concerned that if they are taking a certain medication, that that they are unable to breastfeed. So I'm not sure if that was her concern there. The good news is that we can almost always find safe medications that are compatible with breastfeeding.
I wanted to go back to before we wrap this up, the issue that faces some women who are, you know, impacted in the workplace, that conversation around allowing women break time to pump. Does, Ellen, in your opinion, does Pennsylvania do enough to protect moms who are working and breastfeeding?
Well, I think we have a couple levels to consider here. Like Andrea spoke, we need to have the legislation in place that allows moms to have the time to pump and a clean space to do that in. And then the other side, which I was thinking about, is a mom is going to need that support as well. For example, at the breastfeeding center, we have a working and breastfeeding class because there really is an art to maintaining milk supply comfortably and while you're at work. And then the other side to it as well is that community support, that village. When you take a break in order to pump your milk at work, we want a woman to feel supported by her colleagues in that as well. And not be seen as somebody who is taking a break from working, but somebody who is supporting a life at home as well.
Andrea, before we wrap up, what is the big takeaway for you here that we should have from this conversation in terms of the common experiences among the women you interviewed and the important message from the reporting work that you did?
So the most important thing I think that I found is that how important the community and family support is for women. A lot of the women I talked to were transplants to Pittsburgh, which is why they ended up with La Leche League, because they didn't have that support maybe from a mother or even a friend group. So I think that for women who do want to breastfeed and who want to do that, for them to be able to get connected with groups like that is really important for it to exist in a place. And I think that that would help as well.
Andrea Frazier is a reporter for Public Source, and you can go online to check out her article, Barriers to Breastfeeding. Andrea, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And also Ellen Rubin of the Breastfeeding Center of Pittsburgh and La Leche League, a local organization helping women successfully breastfeed their children through education and outreach. Ellen Rubin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up, we'll preview a documentary showing tonight at the J Film Festival that looks at the growth of American football in Israel. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.